This is episode 331 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, May the 9th, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
But now technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm Andrew McCollum and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. In a week where Sony's PlayStation hack just kept on getting bigger, Victorians who reside in the bush switched to digital TV, and more new gadgets found their way to the marketplace for some time, Australia's Telecommunications Ombudsman released the third quarter report, revealing record levels of complaints against telcos, with, you guessed it, Vodafone making up the majority of complaints received by the office. Nearly a quarter, that's 14,670 of the 59,532 complaints received by the Ombudsman were about Vodafone, as a result of the company's ongoing issues with call handling and 3G network connectivity. But the complaints weren't just limited to Vodafone. There were 31% more complaints than the previous three-month period, with a 50% increase in complaints relating to mobile phone services. The TIO noted that the focus of many of the new complaints was around customer service issues, such as inadequate assistance, long wait times, and failing to act on customer requests, in addition to concerns about wrong advice. In a statement, Ombudsman Simon Cohen said the sharp rise in new complaints to the TIO point to a grim quarter for consumers and that they had never received so many complaints. The TIO also received increasing complaints about landlines, internet services, and a 50% increase in mobile telephone complaints. Corbyn went on to say that not even banks record this level of complaints. They only received 23,000 complaints in a whole year, compared to telcos, which have rocked up 60,000 complaints in a single quarter. There's no doubt that this is the worst industry to deal with in the country. The TIO's role is currently being reviewed by the federal government, and as you'd expect, three big telcos have all suggested that the Ombudsman's finding system, based on complaint escalation levels, may not be appropriate. Should be re-examined.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
LG release a new range of 3D TVs with cheap, lightweight glasses. Victorian country television viewers are now digital only. Sony's hack just keeps getting bigger. Telecommunications complaints soar. Apple updates software to fix that tracking issue. Facebook and Google are reportedly considering separate deals to buy Skype. And the team behind Vodafail the musical. Join us live in the studio. First up, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, an air conditioning failure disables Westpac Bank ATMs. The TIO receives a record number of complaints in the first 3 months of the year. A White House Situation Room photograph is on track to become the most viewed image ever on Flickr. Sony's PlayStation Network hack has been revised up to 100 million affected users. And Apple releases a fix to allay concerns over location sharing. Welcome to Tech Talk News. An air conditioning fault at a data centre caused massive headaches for the Westpac Bank last week. On Thursday, FPOS and ATM facilities, as well as telephone banking and computers in branches, all experienced varying levels of disruption. A Westpac spokesperson said the problem was caused by an air conditioning fault at a data centre, which had triggered the meltdown of the banking website and some cash withdrawal facilities. Head of Retail and Business Banking at Westpac, Mr. Rob Coombe.
And this is embarrassing, and we understand that it's been massively inconvenient for our customers, and certainly I'd like to apologise for that. If there are any customers that have got out-of-pocket expenses, then certainly we'd be happy for them to contact us, and we would compensate them for that.
The timing for the bank couldn't have been any worse, just one day after Westpac delivered a record half-yearly profit of nearly $4 billion. Normal banking services had mostly been restored by late Thursday evening. A record 60,000 new complaints have been received by the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman in the first 3 months of 2011. The complaints were made by consumers disputing incorrect accounts, credit issues, and people dissatisfied with their telco's handling of a complaint. The figure is about a third higher than the number of complaints received by the TIO in the preceding quarter. The Ombudsman, Mr. Simon Cohen, said on Wednesday that complaints from Vodafone customers had risen by 96% compared with the preceding quarter, and that this had contributed to the overall spike in complaints.
A particular focus for us in this quarter has been credit management issues. So consumers who perhaps don't understand or don't receive information about the sort of plan that they're going to go on, they then receive bills that are higher than they expected to and that they're not able to pay. And then they then end up on the credit management cycle, which can include suspensions and disconnections and referral to credit agencies.
The head of ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, is Mr. Chris Chapman. Mr. Chapman said that a year-long review had been conducted called Reconnecting the Customer, which inquired into telco's customer service practices. He said the results of this inquiry would be released in the next few weeks. Mr. Chapman also said he was prepared to crack down on telcos after years of worsening complaints levels, and added that players may now need to accept robust regulations. A photograph of the US President's Situation Room, as he and his staff receive an update on the mission against Osama bin Laden, recorded nearly 1.6 million views in just over 36 hours. Flickr, which has been tracking hits to the photo, said it's one of the most viewed images they've ever tracked. Flickr said the image is already more than halfway towards beating the most viewed Flickr photo, which itself has taken 5 years to accrue just under 3 million views. The Situation Room photo was sitting at 1.6 million views after just 38 hours. As to what the subjects of the photo were watching at the particular moment the image was captured, White House officials say that supplying the context in great detail might compromise intelligence efforts and capabilities. The number of users affected by the external intrusion to Sony's PlayStation Network has been revised up from 77 million to over 100 million users. Officials on Wednesday said that the theft prompted the US Justice Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to open independent investigations into the incident. The New York Attorney General, Mr. Eric Schneiderman, has subpoenaed Sony for conversations and documents related to its security systems and any representations about those systems made to consumers. Back home, the federal government said last week it would introduce laws forcing companies to disclose privacy breaches after Sony revealed the PSN accounts of more than 1.5 million Australians had been compromised. The Privacy Minister, Mr. Brendan O'Connor, said he was disappointed that Sony had taken so long to inform customers about the breach. Mr. O'Connor said a mandatory data breach notification system now appeared to be necessary. And Apple released the latest version of its operating system for iPhones and iPads last week. iOS 4.3.3 became available on Wednesday and changes the way location information is stored and backed up. The new release comes after the now infamous location storage cache was widely publicised 2 weeks ago. iOS 4.3.3 changes the behaviour of the iOS location database by reducing the size of the cache, no longer backing up to iTunes, and deleting the cache when location services are switched off. Popular technology blog Gizmodo says that by upgrading to iOS 4.3.3, owners of Apple devices can sleep easier, knowing that their iPhone is now just as forgetful about where you've been as you are. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
So, lots has happened this week. Apparently someone got married.
I was watching it while I was talking to someone on the internet.
Get it right, do your research next time, he says. Thank you.
Your mileage may vary. Tech Talk Radio is not responsible for any damage caused to your system by following this advice.
Rob Oakeshott, wash your mouth out.
Robert. And yeah,
just when I thought I got out, they pull me back in.
Because Bing's got theirs.
What's Bing?
Good question. Good question.
Yeah. 115.
Yeah.
Oh, what a bargain.
Did you lie in the news?
I did. I lied through my teeth.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's a bit good. Of a slash in the backyard.
So Graham's thoughts are confirmed.
Thank you very much.
People are trying to sue Sony at the moment. They're not getting very far.
They upscale it. They put bars on the sides of it, and they call it HD content.
So it's widespread throughout the empire.
That sounds great. I can't wait.
Someone at Optus just goes to the thesaurus.
Especially considering the stupid number of stupid standard def stupid boxes that have been sold.
I agree with every single stupid word of that.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Sitting in front of me this evening, Dr. Ron and Dr. Graham, Rob Oakeshott, and respective... yes, how are you both, gentlemen?
Well,
it's like
Andrew.
It's subarctic here. What's going on with the weather? I looked at my little thermometer.
There's a couple of brass monkeys walking past tomorrow morning at about 7 o'clock, so just be careful.
This is us walking out the door from Shack West, and they had like 9 degrees outside in Melbourne here.
People listening to us on Switch in Brisbane, stop laughing now.
Yeah. We've gone from summer to, what, we had 3 or 4 days of autumn, and now we're well and truly in winter.
We're Arctic. Very digital, aren't we, in our weather?
Yes. Yeah. We're closer to the Antarctic, but we always say Arctic, don't we?
Antarctic?
Yes. Oh. Yes and yes.
Anyway.
Graham...
Yes.
Tell us about your gadget of the year.
Oh, no.
What have you got?
Have you heard about this?
No. What have you got?
I spent a lot of money this afternoon.
Why should you be any different to the rest of us?
I have finally got my big, beautiful Bravia.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
When you say... You're not going to like what I'm going to say tonight, are you?
you're not going to bag them, are you?
No, I'm not going to bag them.
Okay, that's good.
I was a Sony man through and through until something I saw during the course of the week. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
I'd be honestly surprised if it's got a much better picture than these things do.
Mm. What a very specific view from the couch, which we'll address.
We do.
Does this issue specifically. Yeah. And when you say big and beautiful...
How big?
I mean,
if that's not a personal question.
Yeah, 46.
Oh, nice.
46
inch?
What'd
you get, an HX800?
Yeah.
Oh, well done there, man.
Yep.
That's good. 3D, did you get the glasses and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's not 3D built in, but the nice man down at the Sony shop put in the...
They do that.
They put in a pair of glasses and the transmitter for
it's
me.
It's their sweetener.
Yeah, and the price was already pretty good even before they did that. It was really...
Cool.
Yeah, I was looking at that auction site you were talking about a little while ago.
Yeah.
And they had one on there that had a 12-month manufacturer warranty.
Yeah.
And comparing that to the one in the Sony shop that was obviously brand new, no hint of any problems with it.
Yeah.
And the price difference was,
excellent.
It was not worth worrying about.
Welcome. What have you upgraded from is probably the question too that people will be going, what have you come from, a 26-inch CRT?
Yeah, it's not a it's the sort of normal size CRT, the big CRT that people used to get.
I see them on nature strips.
Yeah. I can't remember what size it is in inches. What?
Don't know.
No.
I'm sure. You're looking around. No, I don't know your size.
No, it was a Sony. It was a Sony Trinitron.
Oh yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah.
They weigh 3 tons too. It takes two people. They were never stolen. You'd take two robbers to get them in and out of your house.
I manoeuvred this one into place not all that long ago when it left its previous owner and I inherited it. And now I've got
to... You need the trolley and three people to get on the bench.
Now I've got to get it out again to get the Bravia in. But it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to plug it in and turn it on, have a play with it before you came here?
I did, yep. Good. I plugged an antenna cable in and... powered it up and had a look at the high def channels. I went to 7's high def channel and they were showing an upscaled and magnified 4:3 standard def program.
Don't watch free to air television.
Was
rubbish. I know. I make this stuff.
You know, that was blown up to fit widescreen, even though it was not made widescreen. And the picture was actually noisy. It looked like it was coming off VHS, for goodness sake.
So can you load apps
and
up
this
on
was,
that one?
Yeah, and that... I don't think we can load apps up on it.
Yeah, see? You've jumped the gun a little bit here. But we'll talk about that later.
I'm looking forward to seeing it if I'm lucky enough to get an invitation to come around to...
I'm sure you'll get to see it one day.
To Graham's Central Studios.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Tech Talk Radio. Wherever you might be listening, around the country, around the world, you can come and commune with us on the chat, if you'd like to. We're all there now. In fact, there's a lot of people in the chat this evening. I just have a bit of a scroll down list. Come along, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Darren's there from the UK. Hello, Darren. And scrolling. Lena's there because she's not in here tonight. Can you tell? and my mouse has stopped mousing. I'm using an old computer. Can you tell me the size of the screen on this? Oh, hang on, it's moving down.
It's not as big as my screen.
Dark splats down there. Fantasizer.
I'd like
there.
To see you bring yours in. Use it as a monitor one night.
Oh, yeah.
Scroll to the bottom. Scroll to the bottom. We'd like to welcome Simon Overland to the chat tonight, too. So that's...
You crazy kidders. Come on. Keep it nice. They'll be completely lost on everybody outside of Victoria.
Is he in need of a new job? I was gathering this stuff happening. Yes.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
Lots of follow-ups and correspondence, Andrew.
We should tease our show this evening. What have we got coming on tonight? All sorts of things happening. Big gadget week this week, I've discovered, having been invited to a bit of a shindig in town during the week. I bumped into Adam Turner there. You might have seen the tweets whilst we were
checking out. Yeah, I saw your tweets and I saw your tweet pics as well.
Checking out tellies and stuff like that. So that was a bit of fun. Ooh. But
you and I had a really good hands-on with the gadget of the week.
Oh, yes.
Courtesy of Mr. Rose.
That was really good. Wait till you hear about that.
Yes, yes. So, we've got good websites, we've got good apps, and we've got good odd spots.
We do.
Whichever odd spot we don't spoil in the course of the program tonight, then we'll use at the end.
I clicked on that website of the week that you gave me down there, and I couldn't believe what I saw there, but you'll have to wait.
I've got a better one for
an
you
hour
next
and a bit
week,
before
too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just get better and better.
Oh, very good. What else have we got in this evening, Dr. Ron?
We also have Scott and Shona from TV Live on Stage.
Oh, yeah, these are the guys that did the
comedy duo who are responsible wholly and solely for Vodafail, the musical.
They were on the news the other night. Did you see them on the ABC News?
No, I didn't, but I heard that.
Well, not
they were
them personally, but their clip was.
Yes, we can ask Scott and Shona about that when they come on a little bit later in the program. Yes, but they have been receiving a lot of attention of late, which is terrific, and it's a hilarious little YouTube skit that they've done, and it's gone viral. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's viral.
Okay.
Nearly, 127,000 views in about 3 weeks.
Wow.
You have to be happy with that, wouldn't you?
You would. You would, we'll ask. So, correspondence that needs to be entered into it without taking too much of the rest of the show.
What are you trying to say? I've got a quick follow-up. GD sent us an STS-134 update. What's an STS-134 update?
It sounds suspiciously like a shuttle mission to me.
It is. It's related to the delayed launch of the Space Shuttle Endeavour. NASA managers, says GD, have retargeted Space Shuttle Endeavour's launch to no earlier than Monday, the 16th of May.
Oh, I thought they were going to go to the moon instead of something.
No, I haven't changed the...
No, that's going somewhere else.
No.
That would be a really bad day for the Space Shuttle if that happened.
After a meeting on Friday, they also extended the length of Endeavour's STS-134 mission to the ISS from 14 to 16 days. If Endeavour launches on May 16, liftoff would be at about 8:56 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So for those of you that are watching out for Space Shuttle Endeavour,
I'd like to send a cheerio too to Lena. I brought you a Logie invitation tonight. She's not here to get it.
And that time is US time, yes?
It is US time, yes. Eastern Daylight Time in the United States.
So if they work out what that is here, it'll be sometime the day before.
For US Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lena's sick tonight. She sends in her apologies.
She's
get
not,
well soon.
Not feeling too flash.
Squeaky one. We're going to miss you tonight.
She had a big night of selling her house, and she did. So well done. That's an achievement.
And
now
she's collapsed
now.
In a heap, I think.
It must be a bit like getting married. You know, once you pass that penultimate stage of no more organisation to do and it's finished,
then
you can sit back and say to yourself, what the hell have I just done?
Yes. Jeff via the Tech Talk Radio. Let's just move right on. Jeff via the Tech Talk Radio contact form says... Hi, guys.
Hi, Jeff.
I was wondering if you could do a review on a new router Internode is promoting, which is the Fritzbox 7390 and the Fritz Phone, F-O-N. I've just obtained one, and I just love it, and would like others to know about it too. Anyway, love the show, and keep it up. Regards, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Looks like this little router has everything you need in a box. It's got an ADSL 2+ modem, wireless networking via WLAN-N, it's a router. It's got a decked base station for connecting cordless phones.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's got a VoIP gateway, up to 5 answering machine messages, and this is for you especially, Andrew, fax function integrated.
Why is that for me, Dr. Ron?
Because you love fax. You love sending them and receiving them. You just don't have any...
You're starting rumors that are completely false.
It's got fax built in, did you say?
Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Yeah.
A USB devices such as printers and storage media, integrates iPhones and Android smartphones. It's a media server as well for music, images and videos in the network.
Good grief.
Integrated network storage with NAS functionality. For more info, go to fritzbox.eu.
And it looks like a refugee from the Jetsons.
It does. According to Jeff, Internode's flogging them at the moment. Long-time listener Craig on a Tech Talk forum says, re-episode 15 where we spoke about YouTube television coming to a TV near you.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not feeling overly excited about Hulu? It seems Australian providers cannot work out how to get quality programs over the internet onto my television. The only reasonable way to do it is to plug a computer into the TV. Even the services that do provide television are generally not available to consume on a TV, with Sony's PS3 being the one exception, and then you pay for the bandwidth. YouTube has even stuffed this up, says Craig. I get very frustrated when watching YouTube on my WDTV Live, and it comes up with, this video is not allowed to be shown on a TV, and I can hop on the PC in the next room and watch it. Yeah, that irks me too.
Yeah. This is proxy serving, which a lot of the people do, the manufacturers do. Sony do it, LG do it. They do it for a reason, but it's very annoying, as he's pointed out.
Craig says when a real service comes along, for example, TiVo Casper, it falls short. I have a $100 credit with Casper and nothing worth spending it on. When will the people around us realise that if they make it hard, the only option is to resort to workarounds like BitTorrent, VPNs, and porn YouTube/rant. Cheers, Craig. That's got a good point.
Yep.
And last but not least, long-time listener Kempy on the Tech Talk forum says, in relation to the ACMA's Do Not Call register, I think the Do Not Call register works pretty well. Oh, there's a bit of a thread there about people getting calls from telemarketers. Naturally, there's holes, says Kempy, but I guess it's better than nothing. I had a spate of calls a while ago from an Indian-accented mob claiming to have a very important business call for, brackets, insert my name here, brackets. Then
they weren't going to tell him he had a virus on his computer.
No, they proceeded to try and confirm his date of birth. The date of birth they had was 1 year off. I refused to confirm, says Kempy, but once this started, they were pretty much impossible to shake. He eventually found an online register and got rid of them. But turns out the company was a debt recovery agency. Kempy says, good luck, be proactive, you'll get rid of them, I reckon.
Why was a debt recovery agency telemarketing somebody?
Probably phishing. I had the wrong number or...
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And that's what those nasty things were floating around before on the internet. I think mainstream media had a fair go at it too. You get these telemarketers that fish for bits of information and then they accumulate it all somewhere in an offshore database, haven somewhere. And then when they really want to get you, they go, oh, Mr. Such and Such, yeah, we've noticed that you live at 123 Fish Street. And yes, they've got a lot of information which builds your confidence in them when they try and sell you something or get you to do something which is not too flash.
Mm. That's all the correspondence, Andrew.
Oh, is it?
Feedback@techtalkradio.com.au is the place to send it if you'd like to communicate with the panel.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
One of the things that happened during the course of the week, which I guess was coming, was the demise of a certain terrorist mob organisation with their leader going down in Pakistan. And I don't really want to talk about that incident, but what I do want to talk about is the poor guy who did the live blogging at the time. Did you catch that, Dr. Ron?
It was on spot number one. I did.
Oh, really? Yes, yeah. Sorry, I didn't read down there. Mine's further up the rundown. See, we do read the rundown.
So we do. Yeah. No, I did hear about that. Yes, the poor man didn't realise what was going on, of course.
Okay, I've read the other one. I won't use that now.
Don't use the other one, because then I'll have to start frantically Googling for a new one.
The 33-year-old IT consultant, Mr. Athar, is that how you pronounce his name?
Athar, I think. Sohab Athar. He's an IT consultant and contractor. And
I think anybody where helicopters were flying over your house would be tweeting and blogging and doing all sorts. Wouldn't you? I would.
Yeah, I would.
Be taking photos from a little handy cam. Oh, that one crashed. Whoops.
But I don't know how not knowing the lie of the land there, I don't know how unusual this would be for that part of the world.
They might have a more heightened
military state, and it might be usual for helicopters and troops to be moving around. I don't know.
Yeah, I gather there's a...
We have them here.
A military training facility right next door kind of thing. So, yeah, it might not be unusual for that sort of stuff to be going on.
What I want to know is why here in Melbourne, where we are, there's the police helicopter always flies over at about 3 a.m. and rattles the windows.
It did the other morning, didn't it?
It does it every other day.
It must come over your house before it comes over my house.
We must be on the flight path, Graham. I don't know where it's going. They're out to doing their pizza run or something. They've probably got a really good pizza run out one side of town, so they fly out and pick it up, so...
Yeah, something like that.
And there's another one we've got down here too, an air ambulance, which does exactly the same thing, I'm sure.
The same helicopter.
Oh, no, there's a red one and a blue one. Yeah. And the red one's just as bad, and they have the 5 o'clock pizza run too.
They're the same. They're all the same.
But anyway.
Tarred with the same brush.
It must have been quite daunting over there in Pakistan. But as you say, it's probably the norm. But when they hover over your house, just down the road.
Oh, that would draw attention. When it hovers overhead, that does make you nervous, yes. Even here, let alone in Pakistan.
Well, but Mr. Attar tweeted, "Go away, helicopter." Then he tweeted,
"I do that too, but it doesn't."
"A huge window shaking bang here." And then, uh-oh, now I'm the guy who live blogged the Osama raid without knowing it. Well, he sure knows it now. In his own words, he was taking a break from the rat race by hiding in the mountains with his laptops.
Lena's saying that Blackhawks go over all the time at her house and she tweets about it. Do you notice that at your place? Because we live relatively... I don't notice... You can pick a Blackhawk sound anywhere. Do you notice Blackhawks flying over, Dr. Ron?
No, I think that's a Lena thing.
Is it?
Mm.
Keep banging the rocks together, Lena.
Yeah. In the chat room there. Come and chat to all of us. Chat.techtalkradio.com.au is where we are if you're listening live.
If you come into the chat room, you won't catch her cold. She's there. You can just see she's typing away there, as she does normally.
The chat room is sterilized for your personal protection. If you're listening on the pod, or you've downloaded the show, forum.techtalkradio.com.au is where all our show notes are.
Yes, indeed. Now, in other news, which I thought was pretty good too, Telstra have released a new phone for seniors. I thought I'd get this over early in the piece.
Oh, yes.
This is pretty cool and a really good idea.
Are you listening there, Mum?
And it's taken a while for this to happen because, let's face it, today's modern phones, they're not for the those who are dexterously challenged, if there is such a word. You need big fingers and these big phones. So anyway, Telstra have brought out a great new handset, and it's called the Easy Call 2, and it's a big button dumb phone. And when I mean a dumb phone, it's the opposite of a smartphone. No camera, no nothing. It just makes phone calls.
Okay.
What a novel concept.
Please don't put the volume controls on the side where the senior's hands grip the phone and turn the volume down while you're trying to talk to them.
Okay.
I can't hear you. I'm shouting as loud as I can. I can't hear you.
Anyway, the phone has a couple of clever additions to make it ideal for Nana. It boasts the standard big buttons and clear big front on most Nana phones have, you know, the really big buttons. But it features an audible key tone, so you can hear the buttons when you press them.
Oh, yes.
And a built-in torch, which I thought was pretty good. That'll get your phone battery flatter quicker.
Yep.
And a dedicated keypad lock switch on the side and a hearing aid compatibility. So I think they've thought about this a little bit. It's $99 outright. Comes with $10 worth of calls for Nana, so she's ready to go as soon as you... Good gift, I would have thought. It's pretty cheap when you think about what phones are worth these days, and a great idea.
$99 outright.
Yeah, so you can put a prepaid on there, so Nana can always dial out, or Grandpa can always dial out at the time and do all that sort of
stuff.
Works
on Next G. Give me the link here. It's working. Yeah, looking good.
Mm. One thing that my father has complained to me about before, not specifically related to phones with large buttons and things, but being able to buy mobile phones these days that do not have a camera, because he's a contractor and he goes to places which are high security areas, and they always say to him, no, you're going to have to leave your wallet and your keys and everything behind before you go in the server room or wherever, and you have to leave your phone behind. It's got a camera
in. Like those clubs in the city where you're not allowed to have a phone with a camera in.
Maybe it's code when he's told me these stories. But he's managed to preserve and hang on to a Nokia 6310, and he still uses Nokia 6310. And he says, no, sir, look at my telephone. It does not have a camera lens in the back. It is not camera equipped. And the security people look at it strangely and go, how odd. Okay, you can take that in.
Mm.
But very few phones these days...
Don't have a camera. That's true.
Hmm.
That's a good thing. I think they've all got GPSs in them, though. I saw a video camera today which had a GPS built into it.
More and more cameras now being sold with GPS receivers in them.
Geotag your movies.
Yes.
Not your stills, your movies. I think that's a great idea. So if you get hoodwinked and taken by terrorists, you can just record a bit so you know where you were.
Last known whereabouts.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, yes.
And glimpse it back. That would be a great idea, wouldn't it?
I think there might be a flaw in your plan there, but I'll work on that for you later on.
Something doesn't sit quite right with you.
Now, speaking of what happened in Pakistan last week, the graphic that we all saw on the news of all the heavies sitting around playing Space Invaders, or the general who was looking down tapping his keypad.
Yes.
Dr. Ryan mentioned it in the news, but it's worthy of
another... The version with the silly hat was the best one, yeah.
Oh, wasn't that funny? the silly hat from the British wedding, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, it's this picture has done amazing things. It's now the biggest viewed picture, not the one with the silly hats, but the real one, on Flickr history.
1.6 million views in 36 hours.
Wow.
It's second only to an image which has received three point something million views, but it's actually taken like months and months and months to accrue that. Oh, another Flickr photo has taken, 5 years to accrue just under 3 million views. So this is over halfway there in not quite 2 days.
Imagine what happened if they put the real photos up of the raid. Whoa, they'd go well, wouldn't they? Not that they will, they've said they won't.
No, well, they won't be released.
Channel 9 tried to.
They won't be released by the US government, of course. Yeah. That was a fake, that one.
I know, they fell for it, didn't they?
They certainly did. It's been around for a long time, that image.
Oh, well, that's what happens.
Yes. Quality journalism in Australia these days.
Did you see the other version with the president with the PS3 controller?
Yes, yeah. That was very funny, wasn't it?
And someone in the background saying, nice shot, Mr. President.
But the guys with all the badgy things, the colourful sparkly bits.
Probably not that far from the truth, isn't it?
Sorry, Andrew, the...
The guy in the photo, the general, who's yes. playing with the keyboard there, he's not watching what's happening on the screen. He looks like he's having a good time there. But anyway, they've all got laptops. I wonder if they'd all network together and they're playing World of Warcraft or something.
Well, yes, good. But not the World of Warcraft that you and I are familiar with.
No. Telecommunications complaints soar. We mentioned this in the opening of the show too. Congratulations, Vodafone. You've taken the cake on this one.
What a shock.
With 30% of the complaints focused at them in just the 3 months. What amazed me is the fact that there are so many complaints for telecommunications
companies in
general.
What amazes me is that people still try to use them to actually make phone calls. I mean, people don't learn, do they?
No. No. But then again, they still try and use them to get their internet stuff and all sorts of other bits
exactly.
and pieces.
Exactly. Yeah. So, how long has this been going on?
How long has this been going on?
Sounds like John Doerr over there in the corner. How long has it been going on for?
The industry ombudsman said complaints from Vodafone customers had risen by 96% this quarter compared with the preceding quarter, and that this had contributed to an overall spike in complaints, a record 60,000 new complaints in the first 3 months of the year.
Vodafail.com. We spoke to Adam Breams, wasn't it, a while back? He was...
He made this site, Vodafail.com.
He did, sheerly and purely out of frustration because he was on hold for so long. And what do you do when you're on hold? You build a website, apparently. And that's how that became. But anyway, we have some guests that are going to join us after the break. And they've done a parody.
I'm looking forward to this.
Have you seen it yet, Dr. Ron? And, oh, you've probably... Yes, you've seen I've it, seen Dr. It. Ron. I'm asking Dr. Graham here.
I saw it last week after a couple of weeks ago after the show when we were talking about it, and I just had another look at it.
It's not a parody so much as a documentary, but we'll yeah. be...
A documentary or a mockumentary?
Yes, that's right, but we'll be talking about that after the break, as you say.
Yeah, I think it's high time with... anyway, after the break, shall we?
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
If you're using satellite for your internet, you've got a very long lag time.
How does $3,005 grab
you? Whoa!
They'd probably get rid of the step-up, step-down transformer issue and waste it.
So this has got a whack of zero. This
correct.
Control.
I don't have shares in them. It's not a political statement. It's just a lot of fun.
Qantas are wanting to clarify.
Ironet have just assimilated Netspace into the Borg.
Entertaining.
Graham, the name of the volcano was...
It's unpronounceable.
Informative.
Oh, look, hang on. On the back it says iPad.
Independent.
You tweeted it.
Me? Don't point at me in that tone of voice.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
This is never going to get off the ground.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tech Talk Radio, right across the nation, in your ears, in your podcast. Warlock's doing the ironing at the moment. Did you know, Dr. Ron?
Yeah, well, this doesn't surprise me. Warlock's a strange character.
Warlock's in Sydney. Must be a good night to do the ironing in Sydney. It's damn cold down here. You'd be under the blankets watching a movie and listening to us, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, no, the ironing would be a good way to warm up, I think.
Anyway, let's talk about telephone companies, shall we?
Let's talk about telephone companies. A few weeks back, now, we referred everyone to a hilarious YouTube clip.
Before you go on, can we put a disclaimer in here?
I don't know. We should. Should we?
All right, we won't then. Off you go.
We were bemoaning and lamenting the marriage of convenience, weren't we, that we all now know as VHA, Vodafone Hutchison Australia.
What did you call it? The what?
The marriage of convenience.
Oh. Isn't it? Wouldn't have called it that, but nonetheless, you have now.
It is. Maybe you should go ahead with that disclaimer. No, let's not. Vodafail, the musical, the brainchild of TV Live on Stage, which is a comedy duo comprised of Scott Dawkins and Shona Urquhart, and as I said earlier in the show, with a lazy... 126,000 views.
Yeah, and you took it upon yourself to email them, and they took up your threat.
Yeah, in just 3 weeks. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely they did. Yes, well, Voter Fowler Musical, it's certainly struck a chord. Scott, Shona, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you guys in the studio. Tell us about Voter Fowler Musical. Where does one start?
Oh, well, it wasn't called Voter Fowler Musical to begin with. Its fans renamed it. We originally called it Telephone, a tribute to 3 and Vodafone.
Because it's to the music soundtrack of Lady Gaga's Telephone.
Yep. That's correct. And then it got renamed by its fans because Vodafone's got such a huge following, that website.
Yeah, the Vodafone.com.
Yeah, and we just did it for a bit of our laugh to amuse ourselves because our calls kept dropping out between each other.
Yeah, and to release some tension.
Yeah.
Scott and I would be on the phone to each other discussing things that we'd write for our show and it would cut out. So, like, we have to write this song.
But can I put that disclaimer in now?
Yes, do.
Dr. Ron and I used to be one of those customers, and I think in the 20-minute drive home, if we didn't have to redial about 5 times
That's a good day.
In the space of an eastern suburbs drive straight up a main thoroughfare, it was like time to churn. Anyway, I'm going to play just a little bit of your, for those of you who aren't familiar with this wonderful musical piece, here's just a snippet of it. I'll play more of it later, but here, this is what it sounds like.
Hello, hello, baby, you called, I can't hear a thing. I ain't got no service yet again, you say.
What
did you say?
You keep breaking up on me.
No, my phone is not up, it's 'cause I'm with 3.
Because I'm with 3.
Get the message?
Yeah. The online version. Yeah.
So I did catch a glimpse of your video on the ABC News the other night. So you've actually sort of got to the stardom fact that...
Bizarre.
Isn't it? Well, how did you feel when you saw that?
Well, because we didn't know. So people
it's
tell us.
It's always a shock. So like, a shock.
I saw your thing on the telly, on the ABC News. Yeah.
So Today Tonight have used it. Sunrise have used it.
They didn't bother to ask you.
No.
No, I suppose when it's on YouTube, it becomes free media in a way.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We end up finding out afterwards.
We don't care. Publicity. Thanks.
Were you expecting the media interest that it's received when you did it?
No.
Not to this extent. I think anyone who's with 3 or Vodafone understands our pain and can absolutely relate to it. But it just exploded so much more than we anticipated. It was...
In fairness, a really good video for us before this would be about 1,000 hits. We were thrilled. So to get 127,000 for one is very unusual for us.
Absolutely, and still climbing.
And it's great because it's driven up all the viewership of all our other videos because we've done other spoofs and we do a lot of character comedy and sketch comedy. So people are watching the whole channel now, which is... fun.
Yeah, it's really nice.
That's good. You've got some
long struck a chord.
Oh, you have. You've got some long-term subscribers now, hopefully, to your channel on YouTube. Have you had any feedback from Vodafone or 3 or any... Not that you'd be able to get through on your mobile phones.
No.
They stayed. So they might be trying to call us, but they can't get through probably.
Yeah.
Have you churned yet, or are you still waiting for someone? You're basking on a street corner to actually get the money to break the contract, like you.
Shona has left.
Shona!
I crawled out. I saw the light and went with Telstra.
She rubs
I never
her
knew
five
that my
bars in my, my face.
I never knew an iPhone could have more than 2 bars.
Oh, that'll make the promo. Yeah.
That little signal meter goes up to 5 bars.
Yeah, yeah. I never knew it happened. I never knew it could do it.
So now I revert back to the landline to call her.
Tell us a bit about the equipment that you've used to edit this and create this video.
Oh, look, it's terribly expensive.
Is it? Yeah.
It comes free with a Mac. It's called GarageBand and iMovie.
Yep. So also known in TikTok Radio here as Garbage Band. Yes, so that's one of Andrew's, but you've used GarageBand to put it together.
The sound was GarageBand, so it wasn't, you know.
The limitation of GarageBand is it doesn't really have an auto-tune, so cut to us singing things over and over and over to get them perfectly in pitch, because there is no second chances.
Yeah.
So I had a few cuts from Shona at the end. Shona's much more musically minded than I am. She's violent.
Yes.
And how long did it take to put it all together?
The audio took about a week. That took the longest, trying to get everything right. But we filmed it literally in about 3 days.
Okay.
Because I had to be on a plane to Thailand, so it had to be done in 3 days.
So you've done all the recording, all the music, the lyrics, and then you go about lip-syncing and recording the...
Yeah, you need to have the audio done first, obviously.
Yeah.
Who wrote the lyrics?
Between the two.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing was a...
From personal experience?
Yeah, yes. It was just about three. It was written a few months ago, and it was just about three. It was just, I was frustrated. I had to do something about it. And then, thank God, they merged, and Scott was with Vodafone, and they just kept getting worse. It was amazing. It was like we were meant to write this song about them.
Vodafone used to be so good. I've been with them since mobiles first came out, and I loved them. I was a huge devotee, and ever since that merger happened, So
Andrew and I tell a similar story. We were customers of Three for a long time, weren't we? And you were explaining.
Well, reason why we were with Three is because Telstra used to provide their network background, but they pulled out 12 months ago, and that's when it went pear-shaped. It went all downhill from there.
Right.
And then they realised that they had massive holes in their network, and here we are today. You guys are singing about it. We've churned, and they've got to lift their game if they want to maintain a few customers going into the 4G domain anyway.
And like you're saying, where they had Telstra as a backup, and your phone would roam onto the Telstra network, onto the Next G network. Mm. It was pretty good. You didn't notice too many dropouts. But as soon as they changed that contractually and they went down this Vodafone 3 merger, it's the wheels fell off.
3XEM on our chat says, a Vodafone demonstrates the need for a single network for Australia, multiple networks for a country the size of Australia is just crazy. There's probably a bit of truth in that when you think that we've got multiple infrastructure right across the network. Didn't we see that with Optus and Telstra and the black cable that went down our streets in Melbourne for the pay TV and stuff like that? But no, we still do silly things.
There's a lot of duplication of mobile infrastructure, that's for sure. Tell us about the cameras that you use to shoot your video, because there's some pretty nice looking sharp images there. Oh, you've got.
It's just I bought it a month ago. It was this little Sony Handycam, $750.
Yeah.
A little present to myself.
Cheap as chips, aren't they, these days?
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's back in the shop at the moment because it had started to make a funny noise.
A dial tone coming out of it or something. But,
great vision. Luckily, we didn't need the audio for this particular video.
Yeah. Mm.
But Sony being quick to fix it, so bless them.
Okay. Do you remember the model number? Putting you on the spot now,
30 something. It's tiny.
It's about the size of my palm.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you about. And it's black.
Right.
Yeah.
And it has a little screen.
Because that's important.
That's it.
The colour's important.
It is. I think it makes it faster.
Whereabouts did you do all the shooting for Vodafone?
Majority of it was in Scott's house or around Scott's house.
Yeah.
There's a line about being in Newquay, so obviously we had to go on location and do things there, but just sort of parts of Melbourne that are recognisable to Melburnians and to the rest of Australia as well. And we had to sneak out and go out the front of a Three store and a Vodafone store at 8 a.m. on Sunday when we knew no one would be there.
I saw the Paran market there. I thought, hello, they've travelled quite a bit to Paran to do that. But yeah, you didn't get who'd you get to wear the Vodafone T-shirt? The guy in the shop.
He was a friend from the Victorian College of the Arts. We went with and we begged him. We were just like, we need somebody.
He played the role very well.
Oh,
I might have.
He's funny. He's so funny. But the uniform Scott made himself.
That was a bit of really.
Well,
them who would give us a uniform.
I thought it was. That was a real employee with a real uniform and everything.
Iron-on transfer.
We had another top that Scott practiced the iron-on transfer with multiple times before we actually had one that was good.
It was about 7 burn marks.
Now, does this performance make it to stage? Because you guys do theatre around town, don't you?
Yeah,
we do a show a year, and we do it at Gasworks in Albert Park in Melbourne. We definitely do parodies live, but the video content is its own, like on YouTube.
Yeah.
And we don't repeat it in the show. We do all fresh stuff for the show.
Okay, cool. Mm.
So we don't want people to pay to come see something they've already seen.
Mm, pretty much the idea is that our show is a live show, but obviously we need to get changed. We play multiple different characters and do multiple different sketches. So the videos serve their purpose as costume changes for us, and so we're not leaving the audience with 2 minutes of nothing on stage. But our live show is in August and from 17th to the 20th.
All right. We'll put some details up online and you can certainly spruik it on our show. So how did you guys meet?
VCA, we went to...
Yeah, Victorian College of the Arts.
Yes, Music Theatre Foundation course.
Yes, it turns out we're not terribly talented in the music theatre arena. We couldn't get jobs.
So it went downhill from there, did it? You had to resort to comedy,
We had to cheer ourselves up, so we started telling jokes.
We took it out on Vodafone.
Oh, but you've done a few others, I think, on your channel. I've seen a few others along the way there. So.
Yeah.
But I think, you've hit a heartstring with a lot of Australian consumers at the moment. With the telephone issues. And I think as we were talking about earlier on in the show too, the complaints against Vodafone have hit an all-time high. So as a result, there's no reason why your parody won't hit an all-time high as people come for the solace and, oh, yes, it's not just me.
Yeah, although, I don't think we get expected to get translated into Turkish, though.
That was,
oh, you're
that
kidding,
was a
really?
Yeah. There's a Vodafone in Turkish video up on YouTube that's had like a thousand hits.
It's gone nuts in Istanbul, The Age reported it last week.
Like, gee, you have created a monster, haven't
it's
you?
So bizarre.
We really have.
Have they dubbed it like over your soundtrack?
No, yeah, so it's our video, but with Turkish subtitles.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I was wondering, maybe you know
you've made it when the Chaser Boys get hold of it. You realise that?
A parody of a parody.
Absolutely. So, any plans for the in respect to more parodies? Are we you sort of got your eyes on something new? Don't give away your secrets.
We're not
going
to give
that.
Anything away, but. Yeah, something's in the mix. Actually, just finished writing it on Saturday night, so there's something else coming.
So we'll have to watch your channel now. So we'll have to bookmark it, won't we?
Yes.
All right, Nate, you're at your Facebook page, Shona. You've got facebook.com/TV Live on Stage.
Yep.
Is that right? Where would you like people to go to follow you, to keep
Probably
track
the,
of?
The best idea is to go to the actual website, TVLiveOnStage.com. Mm-hmm. All our videos are there, information about the shows, the last show as well, just everything you need to know about the characters, and it's all there.
Good. And got links to the YouTube channel and everything.
And Facebook and Twitter and all that.
Awesome. How do we follow you on Twitter? What's your account?
TVLOS.
That's it. I think that's right. At TVLOS.
Yep.
If we want to follow you on Twitter. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. It's terrific to meet you, and congratulations. You've done good work here, I think. You've certainly, as Andrew said, you've struck a chord with a lot of people out there.
It had to be done.
We certainly didn't strike a bar of reception, that's for sure. Never mind.
The puns are flying thick and fast in the studio this evening. Oh, these guys are professionals.
Write that down, Scott. That was a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so everyone's got their pen and paper. Where's your next performance?
At Gasworks Arts Park in Melbourne.
Now, where's Gasworks? Is that in the arts precinct down near?
It's in Albert Park.
Albert Park?
Yeah, no, Graham and Pickles, the corner of Graham and Pickles.
Okay, and the date?
August 17th to the 20th.
Oh, we should go along.
Wednesday to Saturday night.
Yeah.
Wednesday along. Yeah, yes. All right, very good. Once again, thanks, guys. It's been great. We'll play the whole, not quite the whole track, but here it is in its sort of entirety. And once again, many thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Hello, hello, baby, you called, I can't hear a thing. I ain't got no service yet again, you say.
What
did you say?
You keep breaking up on me.
No, my phone is not the up, it's cause I'm with three.
Cause I'm with three.
Cause I'm with three.
No, my phone is not the up, it's cause I'm with three.
Just a second, let me try another room, okay?
Baby, if I wait it around, I might hear what you say.
I should have gone with Telstra when they had that awesome plan.
It's not like I'm out in the sticks, I live in Peru.
You can call if you want, but chances I'm not gonna hear a lot on this telephone.
Cause I signed with this kids for 24 months, cause I'm stuck on the free and phone. Now go get your manager, cause this guy's gonna blast you. Holden's a disaster.
A pigeon would be faster.
I can't get out my wallet.
I have to use my neighbors and even use my Twitter.
I swear I'm gonna eat you.
Get better reception with two cans and some string.
I try to call him for my cancellation, but this guy I get the crew juice from
another nation.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Adobe.
Yeah, it's a feature, but it's a feature that has an unintended consequence.
No.
Don't do that now.
I can't do 70 meg right now.
Do you use Mobile Me?
No.
Yeah, for the promo, what sound would that
sort
be?
Sort of like a... That's sort of a noise.
Really?
Well, that's a fair question.
It is a fair question.
It won't go in the promo. I was quite confident of that.
Kids thought it was great too.
They are.
They're big. They make a lot of noise and they smell.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
It was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun.
It was fantastic.
Thanks to Scott and Shona for coming all the way in and making the trek in the Arctic conditions.
And thanks for making the video, too.
Yes, thank you for making
the video. Have a look on YouTube. I think we've still got a link off the front of the Tech Talk Radio page at the moment, too. So you can click the link and I'll leave it up there for another week or so.
We should make a note there. Not safe for work as well. There's mild coarse language at the start. Just
really?
In case if you've got young kids.
Did we play rude words on the radio?
We didn't play rude words on the radio. Oh, but if you watch the unedited version
on YouTube. Yeah.
Very funny, though.
Not kiddie friendly. And Graham's taken some photos too. You might, if during the break, Graham said, "How do you twit pic?" Is this a problem, Doctor Ron? What do you think?
When I tweet more than twice in a week, there's people making comments about it.
Really?
I thought that was just normal tweets.
Almost went in the Tech Talk news a month ago.
Oh dear.
Tech Talk radio panelist Graham Culligan tweeted twice this week.
Which one should I? That one was that. Don't want a good TweetFic one.
So we shouldn't look
at
our photos
that's
while
we're. Yeah, that's one.
Anyway, we'll put them up on the website later on. So anyway,
sounds good.
Go along and see the show. I think that'd be a bit of fun, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe we should get them on before their show. They can tweet their show on our radio station.
Spruik their wares.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. What else has happened this week, Dr. Ron? There's been a lot of gadgets and a lot of things like that have happened. A lot of companies have released new things, like the CBA, for example, the Commonwealth Bank. Otherwise, you call them the Commonest Bank, have upgraded their computer network so that their banking's going real time.
There was a big banking fail during the week, though.
Isn't that amazing? I think that you look at terrorism around the world and how we really worried about terrorism hitting our infrastructure. Well, it's really a bit of an eye-opener when an air conditioner can take out a bank. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, it was an air conditioning fault in a data center.
Yep.
And took down most of the Westpac's banking business.
That's unfortunate when you think about it.
Thursday last week. Or so FPOS and ATMs.
It couldn't cool the big room where the server was. So that's as a result, they had to turn the server off, I take it.
Well, they did.
It might have caught fire, maybe?
I can't believe that something as simple as an air conditioner can be such a massive single point of failure.
Yeah.
I can.
we should be surprised by this, Graham, but we're not. Unfortunately, we're not surprised. But anyhow, they got everything back up and running again, but it was embarrassing for the Westpac.
Yeah.
And I think I said in the news as well, timing couldn't have been any worse because the day before they said, oh, yeah, we only made $4 billion in this last half year. That was our profit was $4 billion. So they need to go and invest some of that in an air conditioning system.
Absolutely.
I think.
They got plenty of cash to splash.
Cash to splash. What was your banking win that you mentioned?
Welcome to TwitPic.
My banking win? I didn't... Oh, dear. Hang in there, guys. You might have those pictures by tomorrow.
Oh, Graham, that's funny.
The Commonwealth Bank has revealed that customers are going to start experiencing their $1.1 billion core banking technology upgrade. Now, that's a lot of money. See, they're splashing their cash around in their IT sector. But in this day and age, obviously, you want your security. But more so, they want real-time banking. Now, what you can do now, which I've found really, because I'm a customer of the Commonwealth Bank, is that, let's say, for example, you use your credit card. Instantly you use your credit card, bang, it comes up online in your credit card account. So
that's
you can
one.
Actually
yep.
see what's going on. Everything else has always been relatively real time from my sort of point of view. I don't know, other customers may have noticed something different. But the gripe I want to know is the interbanking things. You know, if you want to send something to another bank, why does it take 2 days sometimes? It's really got me tired. It's computers we're talking about here. Does someone have to sit there and veto every transaction that goes across, or is it just the banking batch happens at 3:54 in the morning and that's when your credit from your bank to the next bank happens?
Probably the same reason why we have to wait 3 days to draw on a check from the Reserve Bank.
What's a check?
Me too.
Oh, yes, a bank check, which is a... Yeah.
And not just a bank check. Graham, what were you going to say?
I'm going to say it's not a technological problem.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No, it would be quite straightforward for them to have it debit from one account and credit to another account at exactly the same moment.
Why don't they? Is it reason?
Well,
you
because
think?
Yeah, when it leaves your account, it leaves your account straight away, and 3 days later it arrives in the other account.
Guess what's happened to that money in three
guess
days?
Guess where it's been? Mm. It's been invested overnight on the money market.
It's been invested heavily on short term money markets.
It's made
conspiracy
somebody
theory.
It's not a conspiracy theory. That's reality.
That's what they're doing with it.
Where do you think that massive profit comes from?
Exactly.
Oh, there goes your real-time banking, doesn't it? They'll lose out on their thing. If your conspiracy is to be believed.
Probably for that reason, real-time banking will never be a reality.
Now, here's someone who doesn't need much in the way of banking. He uses a lot of cash. That's Mark Zuckerberg.
Ah, yes.
The founder and co-conspirator in the creation of the Facebook.com website. Have you been there? It's pretty big, you know.
To the house?
No,
Facebook.com. Facebook.
I hadn't mentioned a house just yet.
Yeah, you just...
Oh, no.
What? Well, you spoilt my spot.
Okay, we're even now.
Even Stevens. All right, now. Stop. Now, have I been to Facebook? Yes, I've been to Facebook. I spend some time on Facebook.
Half the planet's on Facebook these days, if you hadn't noticed. But, the boss of Facebook basically bought his first house over the course of last week.
And it was a modest investment for Mr. Zuckerberg.
Well, $7 million.
Yeah.
That's pocket money, really, isn't it? When you think about his little empire over there. Anyway, the 26-year-old's first home, a 1,700-square-metre five-bedroom with five bathrooms, just 10 minutes from the company's Palo Alto headquarters in Sun Microsoft Systems, former headquarters just down the road in Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh.
I've been to Facebook. Lid took me there, kicking and screaming. I said, come here. Sit on this sign. I'm going to take your photograph.
You've physically been to Facebook where it is.
Where it is, yeah. Last year I was there.
Not virtually, in RL.
Yeah. It was the same day. We went to Apple. Down at in Cupertino, and lovely part. They've got a big building down there. You can't miss it as you drive down the freeway. And they've got a lot of invalid parking spots out the front. They're for PC users. So I said we could park there because we're PC people.
I don't know. That's the
no.
That's necessarily
we park in the wrong spot.
The people that spray painted the signs on the road, but that's okay.
Anyway,
go to Gawker.com. You can see a picture of Mark Zuckerberg standing.
Really,
was
it look
new
like?
House? Oh, it's quite.
Has
nice.
It been photoshopped?
It might have been.
Yeah.
Zuckermance.
Yeah.
It says.
Zucker's house includes a saltwater lap pool and a spa, and we're set well back from the street behind the walls, and with some nice private hedges there too. Is that what you're seeing on your picture?
It's very similar.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So well done, Mark. He's finally bought a house. He's got a girlfriend, a pet, and a house. The world is complete now for him, maybe.
It is.
Anyway, maybe he'll buy, what's Skype? Have you heard all the scuttlebutt rumors and things going on about Skype and that during the course of the week that Microsoft, Facebook, and whoever else it was? I can't remember reading it at the time. I can't remember now. Memory like a sieve at the moment.
I uninstalled Skype from my Android a couple of days ago.
I use it when I travel, but that's basically it.
Yeah, I never, ever, ever use it. I used it for testing. I checked that it worked when that, not the Skype Lite beta, the newer one that came out, but did actually perform Skype functions, didn't make a dial-up phone call to a gateway somewhere. And I verified it worked, and it was okay, but I was running out of space to install applications on the Android device, so I thought, what can go? That can go. Skype, never used that apart from testing.
Yeah, you have to be ruthless
at
times, don't you?
Got to be ruthless. And the issue is that there's some applications that only install themselves... This is getting completely off track of what you're talking about. There's some applications that only install themselves in the actual phone's memory. You can't install them and run them off the memory card.
Google was the other company. Thanks, Warlock.
Yeah, Google's like, you've been to Google as well.
Yeah, yeah. I spent a day wandering through Building 43. That was great.
Infinite Loop.
No, Google's not Infinite Loop.
Which one's
that's
Infinite
Mountain
Loop?
View. Apple.
Apple, that's right. Yeah, we were talking about Apple before.
Yeah. That's where they make garbage ban.
Yes.
Yeah.
See what happens, Lena, when you take a sickie?
Oh, dear.
She's stirring them up in the chat room tonight.
Is she? Mm. Go, Lena.
Chat.techtalkradio.com.au is where we are.
It's worth it. Come along. Even if you want to sit there and watch, it's worth a good chat.
I've almost got this figured out. You have to click the upload button, otherwise the bar doesn't start moving. It's
have you got the bar? Oh, he's on Twitter, Andrew. I'm looking at the screen.
Why don't you do it from your phone? Or is it? Oh, no. I shouldn't have said that, should I?
How confusing.
You can do it from your phone.
No. Oh, no. Now look what you've done. Oh, is it cancelled? Oh, no. We're never going to see these images.
It'll be there shortly. While we're mentioning Google too, Google, you know the Street View data and all that sort of stuff that there was all that shenanigans about in the not-too-distant past?
Yes.
Google has deleted its Australian Street View payload data, which it revealed last October. All I can hear is snigger, snigger in the corner.
No, I'm laughing at the whole debacle.
Oh, are you?
They've deleted their data.
Oh, okay.
Aren't they good?
Well, yeah. Speaking of data, Apple did a really good thing. This is what impresses me about Apple. It was 2 weeks ago, people started carrying on and ranting and raving about this location. You know, my iPod tracks my movement and, you know, my wife can tell when I've been to places that I shouldn't have been and I've stopped off at the fast food on the way home and I've been where I wasn't supposed to be. Well, within a week, Apple basically came out with a new patch. Just like that, to automatically delete and clean up the cache. I think you talked about it on the news there, Doctor, on this evening. which was good. So 4.33, was it? Off the top of my head. Anyway,
if
you're going to do an update in your iPod or iOS gadget.
4.3.3 came in on Wednesday last week.
You can get back to your normal behaviour that you don't like telling anyone about, because you can rest assured that it won't be Apple that's tracking you anyway. But don't you think that's good? You look at the other operating systems, Android and Microsoft's Phone 7, and like poor old Microsoft are having problems even getting a patch out to their phone, let alone an update. So, and then, of course, you've got the Droid scenario.
Yeah, where we're also versions and versions behind because no one can get updates together. Yeah.
Correct. Yet Apple, in their infinite wisdom and their ways, can get it out within a week. That's
yeah, well, if you're control freak and you keep control over everything and the hardware and the software and the whole chain from go to woe, then, yeah, you can do those things.
Mm. Anyway, you'll be pleased.
Some of us don't want to live in that kind of world.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's the thing.
What does it mean when it says the photo you were looking for no longer exists? What does that mean? Is that bad?
He's struggling.
English wasn't his strength, really, was it?
Google has said that it does. They've removed all of the Wi-Fi equipment from the fleet of Street View cars.
Now, the Wi-Fi grabbed the MAC address of the devices plugged into your network.
And the SSIDs, the network names.
And your password to your email accounts.
And your let long.
And your banking details and anything else, and anything you happen to be chatting with.
My password to your fridge. Yep. And then, I like this bit. What?
A let long. Password to the fridge.
Yeah. Then it confirmed, I like this, Google confirmed it will not accidentally be collecting any more unencrypted data.
Really?
Yeah. How do they know what they're going to do? Well, I suppose if they haven't got a Wi-Fi receiver in the car, then it can't accidentally receive Wi-Fi data. That's probably fair.
I think that's what they're trying
to say.
They're
speaking for employees that they haven't even employed yet. How does that work?
Yes. Very good. And also, Andrew, iOS 4.3.3, reduces the size of the cache for that information.
Yep.
No longer backs the information up to iTunes, and importantly, deletes the cache when location services are turned off. So it doesn't store all the stuff there indefinitely and ship it over to iTunes.
This is good. Are we cleaning up our anonymity problems?
I don't know.
I think we talked about this on the show a while back. The best birthday present you can get for your 21st birthday these days is a new identity, don't you think?
Yeah, I can see
you can say, well, I'm leaving my adolescence behind, my silliness, all those photos that have been posted up on Facebook, my history, and I'm going to be Bill Smith. And off you go. You get a job, you get a woman or a bloke, whoever you might happen to be.
Passport.
Yeah. And there's no history of you online.
New identity documents.
What happens when you die? Apart from the obvious.
To all of your information.
To your online personage.
Well, it stays there.
It does.
It stays there.
So there's dead people online. Have you poked a dead person on Facebook recently?
No, not that I'm aware of. See, but you can
do it, can't you?
Well, yeah.
So what's going to happen?
Until someone actually accesses the account and deletes it or disables it.
Before everyone goes in, they're getting morbid in there. No, but it's a serious thing. What happens? Is there a gatekeeper that comes around on the internet after you pass on and clean up your digital persona, for want of a better term? Or does it just stay there like space junk?
Stays there like space junk until somebody makes an informed decision and actively goes and deletes or removes things like Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts and eBay accounts, emails, everything.
Come on, you entrepreneurial types. There's got to be a business out there for it. Someone's probably doing it as we speak.
Well, there are businesses that actively engage in removing your identity from the internet, not necessarily people who are deceased.
Oh, you mean the witness relocation program?
Well, amongst other people, yes. Yeah, exactly. But if you want all of your identity removed, there are organisations that specialise in that.
Mm.
It's like it's the opposite to like SEO, isn't it? Search engine optimization. It's search engine unoptimization. It's SE removal, SER or something.
Yeah. You remember TomTom? How TomTom sold all their details to Dutch police? I think we talked about that last week too.
They anonymised the information, or
they did.
What was the word I used that Graham didn't like?
Anonymized would do for that.
De-identified.
De-identified.
Yes. Brilliant. That was when you looked at me like you're going to throw your mouse at me when I said that last week.
Mm. It would have been encrypted like Sony would have done.
No, I think, I honestly think
there was... It doesn't matter whether it's encrypted or not. If it's had the identifiable stuff removed from it, so you don't know whose data it is.
Yeah, it's not as big a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, GPS maker TomTom has admitted to collecting traffic data from every Australian user of its devices in the past 3 years. So if you're a TomTom user, How do these... I don't have one of these things. How does the TomTom that sits on the dashboard of your car phone home? Do you plug it in and do an update?
You plug it into your computer to do updates and things, yeah.
Oh,
and you should.
And that's how it phones home.
Or, yeah, or like mine, it just continues to complain that it hasn't been connected to a computer.
Oh, okay. Well, the Australian Financial Review reported that anonymised Australian data would be packaged and auctioned later this year. Yeah, thanks, TomTom. The company has already faced a backlash from users in the Netherlands for selling collated speed data to police to inform the placement of speed cameras. I can't see that being a big issue. But obviously, law enforcement go, oh, this road here, there's a bit of a speed. We'll put a speed camera there. But that's about the best I could see to do with that information.
Yeah, and TomTom will put a speed warning there to say there's a speed camera there and beep, beep. And, yeah, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And they'll say, look, we've got the most up-to-date safety camera location database.
Yeah, because
we helped to create it.
Yeah.
Have you tweeted, Graham?
I think so.
Because someone in the chat said, that's a nice photo. What camera are you using?
Oh, just...
You must have tweeted.
Whatever camera happened to come out of my...
That was GD.
Computer bag.
GD to GC. That's a nice photo. Well done. Anyway, obviously Graham has tweeted, so if you can find his Twitter account, you can go and click the link, I guess.
And, the camera is a Panasonic... DMC TZ11.
There you go. Little happy snapper.
Little Lunix. Yeah. Quite a nice little camera, though.
Mm. I was looking at cameras today, actually. Oh, there's some nice stuff out there for doing film stuff.
Oh, I know.
Film.
It's not a real camera. It's only a toy camera. It's not the sort of camera I'd like to have if I'd won Tats Lotto.
Yeah. No, exactly right. Where to next? Optus.
It's your turn now, Optus.
Yeah, if nothing else...
We've done three in Vodafone to death.
We've mentioned Telstra, not we? Probably. Yeah, we did with the little the fat-fingered phone that we've got.
Yeah,
it's
on.
The granny phone, the nanophone. Great idea. Anyway, Optus, you don't get out of it. They're having a look at Fetch TV at the moment. So Optus is developing an IPTV service that could stream pay TV content. Who is it who keeps emailing in? Was it Craig? Someone? No, I can't remember. You read out one of the emails tonight. I can't think of who it was. Who mentioned Hulu and the likes.
Oh, was that Craig? Standby.
Anyway, this will give him something else to write in about. But Optus are going to have a go. The carrier announced today that it had partnered with Fetch TV to jointly develop an IPTV service. Now, that's an acronym for Internet Protocol TV, which means that you get pictures and sound over your internet connection.
But was Craig?
It was Craig.
Was upset about Hulu?
No, Craig, you can write us an article on this. Keep it under 200 words. It takes too long in the opening of the show. So a spokesman declined to comment further on how IPTV would be structured, and it was unclear whether Optus would unmeter mobile data services. They're doing a little bit of that to try and woo more customers. I don't know how their market share is at the moment. The TIO Ombudsman probably got good stats on that.
So like they're creating their own free zone, in effect.
Is that what you call it?
Well, that's the sort of thing they're talking about.
Well, I don't know whether they're going to put unmetering, but they're talking about streaming television to a handset. I don't know. It'll probably take off. It's one of those things where if you've got nothing to watch a picture on and something's happening, then yes, you'll watch it on your device. But could you imagine watching Big Bang Theory or something like that on a mobile device? It doesn't quite have the same impact as watching it on Graham's 47-inch Bravia in the living room, does it?
No. It doesn't, but it's perhaps...
And it's very hard to hear on the tram if you haven't got headphones.
Yeah.
Or the train, or the bus.
Oh, you have to have headphones in a car, mowing the lawn on the train. But
or doing the laundry, as Warlock does.
Doing the ironing.
He's doing his smalls at the time.
Yes. But you'd have to have headphones on. But I think watching something like the Big Bang Theory on a small screen would be a lot more doable than trying to watch some epic motion picture that would only do it justice by watching it on a big screen. If it was a small 15-minute sitcom or something, you'd probably watch that on the tram, wouldn't you, or on your way to work?
Yeah, probably.
Just a funny little something to pass the time.
Yeah.
I reckon you get away with it. Something that's never taken off in Australia is DVB-H, which is the...
No, there's never been a handheld for it. No one's ever bothered transmitting it, which is... Television to your...
That would explain why it hasn't caught on.
Well, it hasn't quite caught on here because no one's sending it. There's no equipment.
Bang the rocks together.
Keep at it. Now, well, that's just exactly it. Now, DVB is the digital...
Digital video broadcasting. And then there's a T on the end of it for terrestrial.
And that's the
standard...
That's
what you get on your set-top box.
Yeah, that we use here in Australia for digital television.
Which DVB-T. The government's giving to all people who don't have digital... A bit late in Victoria, Mr. Conroy, because you turn television off in Victoria Country Regional during the course of last week. So there's people out there watching nothing, snow.
If they haven't made the switch.
Yes, yes. So, and now they're going to give set-top boxes. But why don't they do this at the beginning of a rollout procedure? Wouldn't it then mean that you could actually turn things off quicker because you've given everyone a receiver?
Watching digital TV on 7, 8 or whatever it was earlier tonight wasn't much better than watching snow. It was a pretty noisy picture.
Oh, yeah. What was the joke? A snowman in a blizzard or something, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember. All that sort of stuff.
Marky Mark in our chat room says, Nokia tried to bring out DVB-H with the N97 but failed. He said they had DVB-H trials in Sydney, but he doesn't know what happened to
them. Oh, just trialed. It crashed and burned by the sound of it then.
Hmm. I think people probably want more control over what they're watching and when they're watching it.
All right. So now we've talked about DVB-H. We're talking about televisions in our living room. What would you say if you could get an app for your TV?
What sort of an app for your TV?
Well, let's say...
I've got apps on my TV.
What have you got? Apart from your PlayStation
Why
apps, which you probably haven't turned on.
Why is the whole world apps now? What is it with everything needs to be an app?
Everything needs to be an app because it value adds, if you wanted value added, things like sport, for example. You can have an app which superimposes, let's say for you're watching a football game or a sporting game and you like another code or another game, you can have an app which runs a commentary or a score on the top of that whilst you're watching your favourite.
Just open it up on my web browser in my phone and watch the score on one game on my phone while I'm watching that.
What if you don't have a phone handy?
I've always got my phone handy. What are you talking about?
Well, no, that's very true. But you can start getting apps now. There's an app store for your TV. And this is where some of the new TVs are coming out. Now, during the course of the week, I bumped into Adam Turner at an LG launch in the city. Now, they were displaying one of their brand new 3D TVs, which I thought, oh, yeah, this would be interesting. So I went and had a look. Good thing about these 3D TVs.
Hang on, I think I need to stick my fingers in my ears and go la, la, la.
You can do that. You pick it up when you edit the podcast, so just wait.
Damn.
having just spent as much money as it would cost to buy a small African country on a brand new Sony television. Yeah. Yes.
You're going to tell me how good LGs are.
Now, we were watching, I think, a 50-something centimetre device, which was a 3D set, which had built-in apps, because they're launching apps on their TV. But the thing that, it wasn't the apps that impressed me. What impressed me is finally, we've got passive glasses for 3D. And the glasses, the Sony glasses, because I've got a pair too, Graham. I'm not going to say I haven't got anything.
The Sony glasses are active.
They're active. They need a battery in them and they flicker and they carry on and they taint the colour of the screen that you're watching.
Do they?
They do. And they pull the light intensity down considerably. Mm. So anyway, LG have released these lovely new devices which are passive, which means they don't flicker and they don't carry on, and they're like the...
But they're still polarised, so they still reduce the light.
But nowhere near
the level.
They still
taint the colour.
No, they don't.
You sure?
Yes, because we went and had a look. If it does, it's ever so slightly as opposed to what the Sony ones do, which we compared when we got back to the office. I was suitably impressed. Anyway, when we were there,
step
Adam
in the right direction. Next
Adam
step,
was there.
No glasses at all, of course.
What I would say to you is, if you're in the market for a 3D TV, check these out for no other reason than the glasses are $19 as opposed to $70 with Sony. And
or if you talk nicely to the guy in the Sony shop, you'll get
free.
A pair for free. Yeah,
and you don't. Well, I'm sure the others will throw them in for three too. Three for free. Yes, you know what I mean. But check them out because $19, you can sit on them, you can break them, they don't cost you a fortune. You don't need a transmitter to go on your television set. And it just works. And the other thing which I really like,
New Sony's got the transmitter built in anyway.
That's good. The thing that I did like about the new LG was that if you imagine 3D television as a volume control, right? So loud is really at you 3D. There's a big difference between foreground and background. You can actually wind that back a bit. You can turn it down. So if it's too loud and it's doing your head in and giving you a headache, you can actually wind the 3D back a little bit, which I thought was really quite good. Because from a production point of view, you can wind it up. You can turn it up to 11 and you can basically give
people
migraines.
Surely the TV should faithfully reproduce what the producer intended.
It does, if you have it on faithfully reproduce what the producer intended mode. But if
that's
hard to handle, then you can turn it down a little bit.
I don't think there is any setting or control like that on the Sony televisions that we're using at the moment.
No. Anyway, this is LCD technology. And don't forget, OLED is probably 12 to 16 months away from commercial production at good levels. And that'll change. That'll be another game changer too when they come out. So
yes, well,
just bite the bullet and buy whatever you want now. Because guaranteed it'll be obsolete in 3 months' time. Anyway, here's Adam Turner with this week's View from the Couch.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
We've taken the View from the Couch on the road again this week, and I'm speaking to Matt Kossatz, who's former general manager of Ice TV. Matt has moved on to new challenges and is now working in the interactive television space. Matt, welcome to Tech Talk Radio. Do you want to talk us through what you're working on now?
basically now heading up a little company called Aceto here in Australia. It's a worldwide company and we specialise in interactive TV apps for all the new connected TVs and various IPTV platforms worldwide. So here locally, lots of exciting stuff. We do a lot with Telstra and Big Pond with their Big Pond movies and Big Pond TV channels, but also NRL and AFL game analyzer apps. And happy to report all of those apps are now live across Telstra T-Boxes, Samsung connected TVs and LG TVs as of today. The final one went live. So if you're an NRL or AFL fan, catch up on all the highlights of your games each week, go back seasons past and live the dream.
Now, when you say apps, people think apps for their smartphone. What are we talking about here in terms of television apps?
Sure, it's exactly the same, really. If you can think about the early days of smartphones and applications, before Apple took over and certainly the entrance of Google with Android. So there's a lot of platforms. The applications are exactly the same. So you're downloading an app onto your TV. It's obviously your choice, and off you go. It's obviously a personalised experience, and there'll be more and more apps rolled out over the coming months.
And so the television is becoming a bit of a platform rather than a static dumb device.
Precisely, yep. So smart TV is another way, another phrase being coined. No longer a dumb device. You know, you're looking at open browsing, open web browsing, but also these nice little applications that obviously package whatever content you want in a nice little way.
And what sort of things might we see in the future?
Well, I guess some of the stuff we're doing worldwide, we do stuff for the NBA on various platforms in the States, ESPN Star Sports in Asia, a lot of VOD. We're even doing stuff for sort of new media companies here locally and abroad. Really exciting.
One final thing. From your usability testing, do you find that people want apps running on the screen while they're watching television if there's a few people in the room trying to watch the show at the same time? Or would they rather whoever's doing that do it on their handheld device rather than on the screen everyone's trying to watch?
I guess it depends on the app and the content. So some apps, when I say an app, some take over the whole screen. Others take over, you know, a third of the screen and you can see the broadcast in the background. So, you know, one great app for me would be a major sporting event I might be watching live, but seeing all the stats through an application that sits over the top of the broadcast, which I think is obviously user-friendly. But yeah, you get various shapes and sizes, other things like social TV, so commentary on what you might be watching, voting. It's all about to really kick off. Don't get me wrong, I think people still use their iPad or their smartphones or even their laptop and still watch the traditional content, but it's just another channel for people to use, if you like.
So we've heard talk about interactive television for a long time, but it sounds like it's actually starting to happen.
Yeah, I think so. Interactive TV, it's been sitting around for a long time. It's been sort of reduced to the sort of pay TV operators, if you like, in a very basic format. But now we're seeing what we really wanted to see back in the beginning, and that's just open content and premium content.
That was Adam Turner speaking with Matt Kossatz from Aceto, a company which authors apps for televisions. Now to TV manufacturers, and in particular LG, who have just released a new range of 3D TVs, which support apps like the ones Matt's company makes. Adam caught up with Tim Barnes, Senior Marketing Manager of Home Entertainment for LG Australia, at last week's product launch.
Tim, welcome to Tech Talk Radio. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you've shown me here today with the apps on your televisions?
We've got a range of apps being launched with our LG Smart TV this year. We've got a new platform that we've developed that is we consider to be really easy to use, one or two clicks away from your favorite content, whether it be apps, whether it be premium content. And we've all really focused on the local market. So we've really worked really hard with local content providers to try and provide content that's relevant for Australians.
And what sort of, in terms of premium content to begin with, what sort of things would I be able to watch through these apps?
We've got Big Pond Movies, as you know. We've also launched Yahoo 7 recently as well. And we've also introduced ABC. So ABC is also already on our TVs. We've announced recently Fox Sports, and we've got two main apps there. One is a tennis app and one is a rugby app, which will basically start in May and go all the way through to the World Cup in October.
And will they let you watch live matches, or what will they give you access to?
Everything's based on content's rights, so it does vary. But I would say that, you know, for rugby, for example, it's a catch-up service based on the agreements that Fox Sports has. So,
and can you tell me a little bit about the AFL and the NRL analyzers that you're talking about?
Yeah, so those are going to be launching actually before the end of the month. And what those are, basically, it's a catch-up service on AFL and NRL matches. brought to us through the Big Pond portal. And what that is basically your ability to go in and actually look at highlights, look at your favorite player, look at your favorite team and your favorite, you know, your favorite try, whatever, within the matches that you want to see. So it's a catch-up service with a little bit of value add on top.
And we'll hopefully see a movie rental service by the end of the year.
Well, we've already got Big Pond Movies on the LG Smart TV, but on the LG Smart TV upgrader, we are looking at getting the movie service put onto that device by the end of the year as well.
So can you tell us a little bit, what's the difference between the TV and the upgrader?
The upgrader is basically bringing to you the every kind of feature and functionality that the LG Smart TV brings to you. But basically, it's a small AV box that allows your TV, whether you bought a TV last year or the year before and you're not willing or not ready to kind of upgrade to a smart TV, you can actually have the LG Smart TV on your existing TV. All you need is an HDTV with an HDMI input. That's it. It works on any manufactured device with an HDMI.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I still use proxies, though, and it does annoy me. That's my opinion on that. But the set, beautiful set.
Nice-looking
Yeah, they're very screen. Nice. I must admit, Brian and I were there. Brian was from the office. We all went there and bumped into Adam there. And, the 3D demo reality was running. You see, you got to watch these guys. Everything's slow so that you can't see artifacts and things like that that you would normally see on, you know, certain televisions. But I should have thought and taken my own DVD or Blu-ray along, or in this case, Blu-ray, which would have been in 3D. But the foreground separation, background separation, the out of focus in the foreground, it was really quite nice, the demo reel we looked at. And then you've got the apps in the background, which you just heard the guys talking about, which you can, if you're sporting guys, and there'll be more apps come out for them anyway. The thing, like they do with like what Sony does, when I say they, that's LG, do like what Sony do, that is they have a proxy server. So if you're on iNet, for example, at home, and you get free ABC iView, you won't through your television. Because what happens is it phones home to wherever Sony is in Japan or locally, if they've got a local system. And the reason, and then it sort of streams Channel 7 or iView, whatever it is.
Why do they do that?
The reason they do that is to make it so that Sony has control over your set. So if, say, for example, iView falls off the cliff for whatever reason and they stop doing it, they can then update your television set and the screen on your set so that iView is not there. Or as a new service comes online, they can add a new service so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to do a firmware update or anything like that.
But the TV could still talk to its home base but get the content directly from the content provider.
Correct.
Which would
it could.
Solve that
problem. I have no answer for you, Graham. I don't know the answer to the question. But yes, there's probably many ways to do it. And that's why I like the PlayStation so much, or the WDTV Live, because you can actually, well, not so much W, because I don't think that looks at iView, but the PlayStation in particular, you can stream iView unmetered directly to your television set. Very good if you've got young children.
Sony's got this whole menu section on the PlayStation at the moment, which just doesn't work at all. It's completely useless. So it's the other side of the coin.
Yes. On the other hand, you could go and get a cheap, you know, $400 PC, plug it into the VGA in on the back of the television, and you don't need apps, and you don't need this, and you don't need that, and everything just works.
You buy a $20 wireless mouse and wireless keyboard.
Yep, that's right.
And off you go.
Off you go.
Which is also what I've done, which is good. And I ditched the VGA. I've got digital out of the PC. HDMI and the telly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it looks nice. It's sharp as, Baz.
Next, you'll be twit-picking, Dr. Ron.
I will be. From a twit-pick from the couch. Hey, that was a good couch from Adam.
Wasn't it?
Hey, what was that little doo-doo noise just towards the end there?
That was you.
What do you mean it was me?
I was standing next to Adam when he was recording View from the Couch, and you tweeted, "I'm nearly there." Well, no, you didn't tweet. You texted me, and it just went off.
And you replied back, "Don't bother, Dr. Ron, you've missed the boat."
Yeah, yeah.
And you spoiled the View recording.
I'm sorry.
No, it just adds to realism. See, we all contribute to View from the Couch in many ways that we don't appreciate, do we?
Yes, anyway. Some more worthwhile.
Now, there is a vicious rumour that you're going to see Spicks and Specks very shortly.
That is a vicious rumour, but I'd like to put that rumour to rest right now.
Yeah?
It's not a rumour, it's true.
Adam's going to take your seat, I think, on that night, isn't he?
He's coming in off the bench. It's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah? Mm. So there you go. You can put that in your diary. Dr. Ron's on the bench.
Appearing live on Spicks and Specks. No, I'm not appearing live on Spicks and Specks. I'm in the audience.
Can you send us a tweet pic or a tweet pic from when you're there, from Adam Hills or something like that?
I'll do what I can do. I don't know if they're going to have a tweet pic embargo like they did at the Logies. If it's one like they did have at the Logies, I won't have any trouble.
Everyone had to use Vodafone.
If you pull your camera phone out, there might be a very large gentleman who'll escort you from the building.
With a small piece piece of plastic with a number printed
yes,
on it.
Yes, that's the one.
Hanging off his top pocket.
Yes.
Well, I've got a solution for
introduce
you.
Introduce your face to the footpath outside.
Oh, dear.
Dr. Ron,
there's a really good gadget coming up which you could use.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yes, there is.
Yes, you're teasing this gadget tonight, but it is a good one.
Oh, yeah. Well, when he got it out of his box of tricks on the weekend.
We all went, no, get out of here. Does such a thing exist?
This is David Rose. He's been on our program before. He's a cinematographer, and he has all the really good little toys and stuff like that in his camera bag, all set up, ready to go. And he pulls out some, every time we have a, check this out. Anyway.
He's the gadget man of all gadget men, isn't he?
Oh, look, the back of his little white thing is very, yeah, it's
the back
it's
of his truck,
good.
Yeah.
We should talk about a few other things before we get to the Odd Spot gadget and website of the week. Is that the time?
Yeah, this is the Mad Minute, is it?
No.
We've lost our clock in the studio here, but people at home.
You put that up there. I hadn't realised
that. Yeah, there's a big sign above your head now.
Just let us know where we are.
But there used to be a clock there. You're looking at a clock. Graham and I are looking at a different direction. We can't see the time.
Maybe we'll have to get a clock on the other wall. Yeah. You need clocks on the wall here. Apple is going to kill off discs. You know, these CD optical things that come out from time to time?
Intentionally, or is this just a byproduct of iTunes?
Yes, probably both. Anyway, Apple Insider reported that Apple's newest operating system, Mac OS 10.7, otherwise known as the Lion. I wonder if this will be the last cat. What else have they got? Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, it will be released through Apple's new Mac App Store only. Well, I find that hard to believe, only. Someone's going to want it on a disc, surely. Lion is scheduled to ship in summer of 2011, which is very soon because it's summer over there now. Summer in the Northern Hemisphere. The shift is another along the line of moves Apple has made towards getting rid of physical media. So first it killed off the floppy. Do you remember those?
The floppy disk.
Got a few floppy. We've had this discussion. I reckon
I could find a floppy disk in my Tech Talk Radio junk box sitting behind us.
Well, anyway, it removed floppies and it removed disks from drives, the MacBook Airs. Now it's taking the disk out of the operating system installation as well.
I don't know if this is a good idea
or
not.
That's a big download.
It is a big download.
But then again, I did an update on my iPad in the course of last week, and that was a 500 or 600 meg download too.
Mm.
Be wary of those on limited bandwidth plans if you go and update your operating system via that.
Do you ever find yourself in a position where you're trying to build a new machine, whether it's an Apple Mac type system or a PC type system, where you don't have access to the internet?
No.
We're all thinking about that. No, we nearly.
No, I've gone to great lengths to make sure that never happens.
You have. Yeah. So would it disturb you greatly, Graham, if I said you couldn't get Windows 7 operating system on disk anymore? You had a new machine. You had to build a new machine.
And I had to install it over the internet, or I can download an ISO and burn it?
Well, you can download and burn, I think, from what Andrew's saying in this Apple example.
It wouldn't bother me at all, because that's what I do with my Microsoft software anyway already.
Yeah.
People are glazing over now. What are you talking about?
Talking about what you're talking about. Is it relevant? Is it going to affect us?
What I thought when you started talking, what I thought you were going to say is that the next Apple Mac isn't going to have a hard disk in it. Because they took the hard disk out of the...
Give them ideas.
They took the hard disk out of the TV, Apple TV, Gizmo, what's it, Tron thing.
We haven't got any Apple zealots in the studio this evening, so they can't help us out.
I reckon they'll bring out a PC that hasn't got a hard disk in it. And you have to save all your documents and all your emails and all that stuff to the iTunes cloud. And all your apps will be subscription through iTunes, and there won't be anything installed on your machine.
It'll just be an Apple portal.
Yeah, exactly right. So and you'll probably get things on thumb drives. You seen that? Sorry,
it's very silly.
There's another show going on here in the studio.
An unrelated photo was just waved in front of us,
Apple Insider also says that hard copies of the software may even come on thumb drives. Yeah, the little things that you whack into the site. So you get on a...
Yeah, then there was...
On a stick.
Yeah.
Good, that's better than a...
There's sense in that, yeah. And then when you've installed it, you just, format the drive and use it for something else. Use it for...
Correct.
Warlock in our
chat room.
Copies
of the show backwards and forwards.
Says, you won't download and burn an ISO for Lion... App Store is for software only. You will not have an ISO. You just install it from the App Store.
Oh, so it'll be a DMG.
Yeah, see, I've got a problem with that because I'm not going to want to sit around for 3 days waiting for it to install. On a slow internet connection. Yeah, got a problem with that.
He's also said a bit further up in the chat room, dial-up people are screwed. He's right.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's so many people out there that are not necessarily on dial-up, but on dial-up
so
speeds.
Can we go to the next level and say, are Apple doing themselves a favour here?
I don't know. They might be doing themselves a favour, whether or not they're doing all their loyal zealots a favour or not, I don't know.
Oh, well, Adam will be in shortly. He'll be able to update us all on those sort of things. In other news, iiNet is starting to move Netspace users. Remember they bought Netspace? Netspace a few years back.
The internet service provider. Yep.
Yeah, so if you're on Netspace, you'll start moving over into the iiNet side of things. But Netspace, they used to be down the road from us in our local area here. They had a big office, and they got bought out by iiNet. So, yeah. There's also, we're talking about Sony. We should talk about Sony, actually, but let's see how we go for time. There's been a service launch for publishers to evade Apple's cut. You know how they take 30% of 30% of a subscription and stuff?
Yep.
This had to come, really. But a digital technology company called Udo launched a service on Thursday to help magazine publishers evade the 30% commission that Apple charges to deliver content to iPhones and iPads through its App Store. Had to happen, didn't it?
Mm.
Udo, whose online publishing tools help companies tailor their content for tablet computers, smartphones, and e-readers such as the Kindle, said Apple had recognized its new service as compliant with its terms and conditions. Apple had no immediate comment, but that's what they'll do. They'll go through it like they always do. And if they can't cut them off, they'll take legal action. Isn't that the way it works in the wonderful world of technology these days?
Mm.
So there might be hope for the Rupert Murdochs who feel a bit on the outer anyway because of this technology thing, and they're going to have to give 30% to Apple on a subscription.
You've got a tablet?
I do.
You've got an iPad.
Have you seen the new Motorola? Adam went up to Sydney for it during the course of the week.
I haven't seen it, no, the new Motorola tablet.
It looks really good. Telstra have got it on a plan. But
is it running Android?
I think so. I'd have to double check.
Showing my ignorance here.
I must admit, I haven't looked into it yet because it's been one of those weeks from goodness knows where. But it looked really quite nice. The pictures that I've seen, a bit of an interesting GUI on it. I don't know whether it's an iPad killer because...
Is it the Zoom one? XOOM?
Yeah, that's
Motorola Zoom, is that right?
Yep, which they launched in Sydney last week.
Oh, yes, Motorola's the innovative Motorola Zoom tablet. Yeah. It'll be available shortly on the Telstra Next G network. Register your interest.
Yep.
On the Telstra.com website, and it's powered by Android.
There you go.
Very nice.
Honeycomb, isn't it?
It's not powered by Android. It's powered by a battery.
Thanks, Rob.
It runs Android software.
Oh, great.
Powered by a battery.
Powered by a battery.
Good. Well, yes. It is. What are you? I'm sick of this.
Oh, yeah, I've lost my place now.
Vague and stupid language.
You should hear him in the car park afterwards, ladies and gentlemen. Sony have hired a firm to clean up their data breach. You said on the news that it's made 100 million people have lost it. Who's going to pay the banks to reissue all those credit cards is what I want to know. That's a big, big whoops.
This is the 100 million.
Sony has hired outside investigators to help clean up its network and catch the people behind the massive breach that exposed personal data of more than 100 million video game users. If you're like Adam, you probably now live in Fake Street, and we'll be talking about that next week too. How much information do you actually give?
123 Fake Street.
Yeah.
And you put your email address as bill@whitehouse.gov, yeah. Always used to.
See, the problem with your date of birth, I've always found that is if you forget your password, that's one of the questions they sometimes ask you. So do you fake that one?
Yeah. I just 1st of January in the year I was born in.
1st of January. Yeah, that's probably a good way of doing it, isn't it?
So I can remember it if you ever ask.
Yep, and I'll remember that now too whenever I'm trying to crack into your bank account.
it probably, you've got a 1 in probably 20 chance of getting it now, haven't you?
Graham Anonymous Callaghan here is going to be remembering all this personal information, account information.
But you've got to admit, Sony have really, that's a real big whoops over there when 100 million.
That's bad. It gets worse and worse.
Yep.
Have you plugged your PlayStation in since it's happened? I haven't.
Yeah, I've used my PlayStation.
Can we play online again, or is that all offline?
No. Don't mention the war.
Oh, yeah, I thought that'd be the case.
No, you try and go into the PlayStation network on your PS3, and it just says it's not available. Go away. Just pay no attention to the man behind
the
curtain.
Fancy
due to technical difficulties.
Thing that's spelt with a Q thing doesn't
curiosity.
Work either.
Curiosity.
No. Well, it visually looks like it. You have to think about it a bit.
That doesn't work either.
That does not work either.
But if you go to the Sony website, they've just released a whole new line of TVs with internet stuff built in. And, yeah, that big Curiosity logo is still featured prominently on the website.
It?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it
does. It's a major feature in the new line of TVs they just released.
What are they going to do?
They're going to have to get their act together. They should have had this back online by now.
It's been 2 or 3 weeks now.
It's Japanese business culture. It'll take a while. They're still in denial about Fukushima. Has anyone heard about that lately? That's disappeared off the radar, hasn't it?
Well,
the next 100 years?
Only from the safe comfort of Australia. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot going on if you're a bit closer.
I'm sure. Now, there's a... hang on, have we got time for this? Yeah, I think we do. Telstra's warning of a Nokia bug on Next G. If you've got a Nokia, Telstra has urged some of its Nokia smartphone users to upgrade their firmware after finding a conflict between the devices and upgrades scheduled on the Next G network. The carrier said it was performing network enhancements in Bundaberg and Melbourne. Anyway,
and the enhancement was to ditch all the Nokia users.
Like, Graham, that's harsh.
He's
got to be in his bonnet tonight.
Come on, another hour.
I was commenting on and obviously this is what they've done. Their enhancement has upset every Nokia phone.
You're actually pretty right on the nut on the market.
Yeah.
While we were testing these network enhancements, we found a mobile software issue may cause Nokia 6120Cs, N95s and E71s, and the Nokia E51 to reset itself from time to time.
Now, there's some very popular phones in that list.
Yeah, the screen turns white for a short period, said Telstra. To stop this from happening, you will need to upgrade the software on your handset. But that's if Telstra has given you the option to do that.
Then again, I think it was my E51. Was it an E51 I used to have? I defenestrated it one day and went out and got the phone I'm currently using now.
You did defenestrate it with extreme prejudice.
Yes, I did. It's
Excellent.
It was a conflict, they said it was.
A conflict.
Really? Conflict. Way to alienate half your users.
Conflict spelled F-A-I-L.
Conflict of interest. Conflict of lack of interest.
Yeah, okay. Just briefly, is the white iPhone really thicker than the black iPhone? The answer is no. I think that was some feedback from last week or something. I think we were talking about brown marks and stuff like that.
I read some news articles on credible news sources that said it was 0.2 of a millimeter thicker.
Well, there's a photograph off the internet of someone measuring it with a micrometer, so you can't believe everything you see on the internet.
It looks like Lena's handiwork. She's making sure it was going to fit into her car kit so that the display didn't crack into a million pieces.
Oh, dear. Odd Spot Gadget. This is website why she can't have nice things. After this, otherwise we'll be here all night.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened during the course of the week.
This is a new experience, agreeing with
Senator
Conroy.
It's hard, isn't it?
And Julia.
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 The more they lock it down, the more people will work around it.
Is it?
You know something I don't know?
No, I don't.
I just tried to unlock Andrew's phone with my passcode.
If you're going
to
cross the road, look both ways.
Entertaining.
So no more pub runs.
No more pub runs.
Informative.
Look, I agree with you, Graham.
Independent.
I can feel a churn coming on.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I mentioned the word Optus, and I think you've thrown petrol over them.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
Congrats on the new television, GC, says Damo the Geek in the chat room.
Ah, thanks, Damo.
Yes, Gadget of the Week is the Race Recall 720 HD video sunglasses. Starting at just $149.
Now, you've got to take a pair of these into Spicks and Specs when you go. Because Spicks and Specs, get it?
No, another joke like that. You'll be walking home.
Nights, isn't it?
These are a stylish pair of comfortable sunglasses complete with 720p, what it calls high definition, video camera, recorder, and 4 GB micro SD card included.
Yep.
You can have black polarizing, light grey, or blue mirror polarizing lenses. And a 4 GB card records up to 30 minutes of high definition audio and video. What's more, the glasses also support up to 8 GB, 16 GB, or 32 GB micro SD cards, giving you up to 240 minutes of recording.
Yeah, the battery's going to run out before you get this
in
far.
In a pair of sunglasses. They look very swish, very fancy.
And I did see the picture quality, and it's surprisingly good. You're just going to hold your head still when you're recording.
Yeah.
Because you'd be surprised how much your head moves in your day-to-day life.
Natural bodily movement.
Yes. But if you're going into a meeting...
It says it has motion detection stabilisation on it, so that should help a little bit.
Cool.
But, you know, you're going into the bank to, you know, sign up your new home loan, you can get a visual, you know, you get a videotape of the deal. So when they go back, no, we didn't say that. But you did.
Oh, it's very, very impressive.
It's very good.
And the tiny little lens in the middle that sits above your nose, you hardly even notice that it's there.
Realistically speaking, speaking, these cameras are really good if you're a thrill seeker. You like jumping out of aeroplanes or riding bikes down hills very fast.
Yeah, you want to make a funny and YouTube video. And
yeah, something for funniest home videos or even capturing your own death. It could be quite handy. So.
Oh, that wouldn't be funny, but...
Well, it'd be really good seeing the tree come close up very quickly. It's good really, for skiers, it's, snowboarders.
Oh, yeah.
It might be of help to the coroner.
Yeah, it could be. Very... Oh, you can just hear the coroner now. Grady was wearing those sunglasses, wasn't it?
For more information, go to www.racerecall.com. That's a gadget, Andrew. The Race Recall 720 HD video sunglasses.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
If you, like us, enjoy tinkering with mobile phones and computers and GPS equipment, this has to be blog of the year for you. Spench.net, SPENCH.net. Specifically, follow your nose, click on a link to the RF page, maps.spench.net/RF.
Don't get too techie.
This is a Google mashup of cellular base sites in Australia, and it links directly to the ACMA licensing database. You can toggle automatic fetching of base sites when the map's changed. You can toggle three or four different layers on each map, showing data from different sources. There's even an auto search included in the page. When you click on a base site, you get little tooltip texts and bubbles that pop up, showing you site-specific information, like lat-long frequency allocations, radio emission types, and site users. I was impressed.
You missed out an important piece of information for all the amateur radio operators out there.
It links to the amateur radio database.
It does. You want to know who the call sign of that person is in that house down there? It's got that there as well.
All you need to do is remember one website, and that's our website of the week, Spench, S-P-E-N-C-H, .net.
Oh, just .net. Sorry, I was waiting for the A.
That's
just
all.
Dot net.
No, just dot .net. That'll do us nicely. Woohoo!
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
Rocco says, Train Trapper is a must for any Android user that catches a train in Melbourne. This is rather Melbourne-centric app. So
there'll be ones
us.
For other states, I'm
sure. There are. It works out where you are.
Just add 5 minutes if you're in Melbourne to all the timetables.
Yeah, you have to now. This is clever. Listen Enjoy. To what this does. It works out where you are and tells you what time the next train is for both directions.
Does it give you how fast you have to run at what speed to get
yes,
to the station?
Yes, and where the nearest station is to where you are.
You need to be travelling at 5 kilometres an hour, so you need to get up to a canter.
I had a note here, as Andrew was hinting at. New timetables came out yesterday, the 8th of May. A new version of Train Trapper will be released at the same time. It's your complete timetable guide for the Metro Train Network, and there's a free version and a $3 version. I'm not sure what you get for your extra bucks, but... Check
Accurate
it out.
Timetables?
Maybe. Don't know. That's our app of the week, Andrew. It's a Train Trapper.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
My, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
We know they're only 720p mod in the chat room there, those glasses, but that's what they call HD.
No, that's Isn't fraud
it?
Def.
It is. It's fraud def sunglasses.
It's only marginally higher resolution than your standard def. Marginally.
Andrew.
A couple extra lines of active television in there.
Graham, four people
quite,
were...
Quite a bit of extra, actually.
Four people were taken to hospital, and a glass door was smashed in a riot which broke out at Beijing's top Apple store on Saturday.
What happened in Apple? A riot at Apple?
A riot in Beijing's Apple store.
There's some rotten apples.
Crowds rushed in to snap up the popular iPad 2 tablet computer, and an employee allegedly stepped into the crowd to push and beat people suspected of queue jumping.
Oh,
after
nasty.
The employee retreated back into the store, a crowd of consumers smashed the glass front door, shoved security guards, and they surged forward in anger. Consumers have lined up for hours at Apple stores in Beijing and Shanghai since the iPad 2 went on sale. The store closed early because of the altercation, but according to a voice recording on the store's phone, it was open again for business on Sunday. Apple officials were not available for comment. Four people were hospitalised with injuries as a result of the fracas. Always love a good odd spot with a fracas involved.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good.
Were you injured in the fracas?
Me.
No, I was injured just below the left kneecap. That's our odd spot, Andrew.
It amazes me what some people will do to get into an Apple store. It really does.
Mm, riots.
Damo, we're talking about your sunnies again. Damo the geek on the thing says getting pulled over by the cops would be another good use. Lol.
Oh, you'd be
lol.
Able to, you'd be able to record. Lol. You'd be able to record the interaction.
And then you post it up on Facebook. No, not Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah, but don't go out of your way to get pulled over by the police, Damo. Just for sake of testing your glasses.
Can you do that for us and post it up for us? We'd like to see that. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? That was Tech Talk Radio. episode.
It's better than your suggestion, writing yourself off into a tree.
Well, yeah, that's
very
true.
And you realise you haven't hit record. That's always awkward,
too. Oh, no, you can't do that again, can you? Oh, well. That was it. That was Tech Talk Radio for this week. I've lost track of what show number it is. About 300 and something. We're chuffing through them again. Halfway through the year, nearly. All good. Come and chat to us, chat.techtalkradio.com.au when we're live to air. You can contribute, feedback, all those other good things. Visit the website in general and, poke around and send us an email. Dr. Ron, that was it. You're in next week, but not the week after because you're going to see Speaks and Specs.
Correct.
Excellent. So we can promo Adam coming in a bit.
Adam will be coming in off the bench.
Yeah, excellent. There was something I was going to say, but it's completely slipped my mind.
We hope that Lena gets well soon, and she's joining us next week. And yes. Fee Can in the chat as well. She's been unwell. Hope you get better soon too, Fee. And you're
something in the water, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes, what I was going to say is, once again, many thanks to Scott and Shona for coming in this evening for Vote or Fail the Musical.
TV live on stage. Absolutely. We'll put the links in the show notes and on our website. We're going to cross-pollinate links and things.
It was lovely. Lovely guys, and very funny,
clever,
too.
Clever guys, yeah.
Okay, that's it for Tech Talk Radio for this week. Wherever you are, join us same time next week, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Guest panellist is Justin Dunlop. Expert opinion by Adam Turner and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and the world that rebroadcast the show. And a reminder that Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. And don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk chat, and solve your tech issues in the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws, and may not be rebroadcast without approval.